So we're going to start this subject of Muksa Shikvar Notal Biyodo. It's already in his hand. And we're going to speak about the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. Kol HaKelim Nitolim Litzorach V'Shalom Litzorach. Now, you should have in front of you page 267, is that correct?
I think
so. Double check that. And 268, 269 is on the way. Should be here any second.
Yeah,
266. Great. Excellent. Oh, David's here. Go ahead. Get yourself a tea. I'm going to start without you, David. You don't mind, do you? Okay. So if anyone comes in and needs pages 267, I happen to have some extra copies. And now we have 268 and 269. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay. So let's just review what we know. We have machlokes between Rabbi and Abaye on the one hand, Rava on the other hand, according to, I'll get back to the original. You gave it to me already, probably, but I just don't know where you put it. Oh, thanks. Okay. That's great. And if you see any copy that has a little writing on it, you'll know it's mine. Okay. And the Mishnah is talking about a case of klisha malaka leheter. You're allowed to move it litzok gufo. And shalom litzok means litzok makomo. Rava holds that litzok includes both gufo and makomo. And shalom litzorech is including michama litzel. So that's as far as klisha malaka leheter is concerned. Then we have Rav Nechemya. Ben, you can take this if you don't mind, and just put it on the floor. Yeah, thanks. And this I have to throw in the rubbish. That's later on. So according to Rav Nechemya, a klisha malach leheter is only nita litzorech tashmisho amiyuchad lo. And Rava says that according to Rav Nechemya, you're allowed to move a klisha malach leheter even litzorech makomo. And we had a long discussion about that. And we said the following. The Rashba is medayik in the Gemara. The Gemara asks, according to Rav Nechemya, what are we going to do with these karos after we finish eating from them? And if you are allowed to move the karos and put them on the table in order to eat, that's litzorech tashmish amiyuchad lo, but to take them off the table, that's not a tashmish in the kli. And the Gemara initially answers that it's a graf shel re'i. So the Rashba learns from this Gemara that once tiltul is litzorch makomo, which according to the Maskona, the Gemara assumes that even according to Rav Nechemya, you're allowed to move this kli litzorch makomo. Says the Rashba, you don't have to take it off the table and drop it at your first possible opportune moment. You can put it down wherever you so choose, wherever you so desire. Because if not, the Gemara should have objected here in general to this whole concept of Litzorch Makoma. Well, why didn't the Gemara ask, you might as well drop the Kli? The Gemara only asks within the context of Rav Nechemya. Without Rav Nechemya, it was clear to the Gemara that once you pick up the Kli, in the case of Litzorch Makoma, you can put it down wherever you like. So you're not going to be stuck with a situation where all your dirty dishes are on the table. That the Gemara understood up front. The Gemara had a problem in removing that kara from the table, according to Rav Nechemya. Without Rav Nechemya, we have the heter of Litzorch Makomo, which according to Rav is included in the Tzorch Gufo. According to Rav and Abai, that was a second level of heter. But everybody agrees that in a klisha malakta leheter Litzorch Makomo, you're allowed to move it. And the Gemara never stood up on 2 feet and screamed and yelled, well, what are you going to do when you take it off the table? And where are you going to put it down? You have to drop it immediately. The Gemara never made that comment. Apparently, the only thing that bothered the Gemara was, according to Rav Nechemya, how do you allow taking the kara off the table after you finish the meal when we need tashmish akli, according to Rav Nechemya? And that's where the Gemara is mechadish this svara of Graf Shel Rei. Anyway, Rashba comes to the following conclusion, that once you're allowed to be metaltel litzorch makomo, you can put it down wherever you like. And it's very interesting because he proves his point from a Gemara Daf Mem Gimel back in Perek Kira, where the Gemara establishes that ain kli mitol el litzorch tomer mitol, and therefore you would not be allowed to take a kara and cover up an egg which is nolda and muktza. And the Gemara asks, we have many Mishnayos that say that you're allowed to move a kli to save something else. And the Gemara answers that all those Mishnayos that indicate you're allowed to use the move a kli litzorach muktza, that's all because he had to move the kli anyway, because if he needed the makom litzorach makomo, and therefore once he picks it up, he's allowed to put it down wherever he wants, so he can cover the egg. And that's fine. So it comes out from the Gemara that even though you're not allowed to pick up a kara in order to cover an egg, because ein kli mital el tzarch dovra mutal litol, but nevertheless, if you already picked up the kara, and the reason you did so is because you needed the makom, then you're allowed to put it on top of the egg and protect your egg. So next time, Rabosi, you have a problem with an egg, and it's a very sensitive egg, and it's muktzah because it was, you know, your chicken laid it on Shabbos. So what do you do is find a kara that you used on the table, and now you want to clean it off because you need the space. And once you pick it up and you clean it off, you're allowed to put it on, down wherever you want. Now, if it's a kli shemlachta leheter, I have no doubt that you'll find such a kli somewhere. You know, you look in your cupboard, you find a kara. If it's a kli shemlachta leisur, that's a little bit more complicated. And that's going to be the subject of this debate between the Magen Avraham and the Gaon.
But wouldn't that be a problem taking it from your cupboard? Like if it's on your table, I can understand, because you want to clear the table because you're going to eat or whatever, then you've got it in your hand, then you can put it there. But if you go just specifically to the cupboard
right,
to pick this heter kli out, to go cover your egg or a wallet that you see outside, wouldn't that be problematic then?
So that comes back to the sugya that we studied yesterday. And we came to the conclusion that according to Rava and Eklisha Malachto Leheter, you're allowed to use it litzar chayom. So for example, Abai took a tarvod, which is a Eklisha Malachto Leheter, and he placed it on top of muktzah. Here too, you want to cover muktzah, you're allowed to take it out and cover muktzah. And that's considered litzar chayom if it's a Eklisha Malachto Leheter.
But that doesn't fit in with what the Rashba was just saying, right?
Well, the Rashba was talking about a case where you already have the kli on the table, and the Rashba is saying that you want to clear off the table and then you cover the egg.
So the Rashba would have a problem with me going to the cupboard.
I'm not sure. Again, I'd have to look in the Rashba inside. You're right. I mean, if the Rashba is talking about a case of Litzorach Makomo, why didn't he just talk about a case of Litzorach Gufo? I don't know. It's an excellent question. I have to work that out. So we hold on to that question, David. Maybe it'll become clearer as we go along. Fine. Now, a whole bunch of Rishonim join this flagship, you know, Shita of the Rashba. They all agree with him. They each have their own proof to this concept that if you have a kli that you've already moved, and let's assume you're allowed to move it, in this case, it's Tzarech Makomo, then you can put it down wherever you like. And that's how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Gimel. And the Shulchan Aruch goes even a step further. That we saw yesterday. I had it here on the table, but I think I put it back on the shelves. So maybe if we get a chance, we'll go and get the Shulchan Aruch. But he says that even in a kli shemalach talisa. Does anybody remember the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch from yesterday? All right, let me just take a...
Hang on.
Let's take a break.
I might remember it in a second.
You're a Russian guy.
David, you have a little something in your hair. It's out. A little something on top also.
Okay. Because I walk around without looking, you know. Fashion into things.
Okay. I'm expecting to see you cheering for me tomorrow.
Yes, yes.
Where will you be?
Where did we say it was in the Shulchan Aruch?
At the finish line.
Shin Gimel, correct? Shin Gimel?
Not Shin Chet?
I don't know. Oh yeah, maybe Shin Chet Siv Gimel.
Shin Chet Gimel, yeah.
Yeah, you know what page it's on by any chance? Once you have it open.
Oh, sorry, a different print.
All right. So I have it here on page 209. So remind Don if he comes in by any chance to open up to 209. And he says here, Klisha Malatul Isa Mutal Taltal Bain Litzach Gufa Bain Litzach Makomo Umutal Lito Mishamal Anicho Beza Makom. Beza Makom Shiyurtse. So clearly the Shulchan Aruch is taking this Rajba to the extent that it would apply even to the case of Klisha Malato Le'isr. And the Mishnah Berurah writes, Kamen Shehu Biyado, Shenotlo Litzach Gufa Litzach Makomo Rashai Litalto Le'yoser. And that's fine. Okay. Now, what's descriptive of this case, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch formulates it, is that you already picked it up beheter. You were allowed to pick it up because it was litzorech makoma. Okay. Now, what happens in the case where he had no right to pick it up? This is called shachar. So that's the Magen Avraham on the left side here, that if he forgot and he took up a kli, which he was not allowed to take up. Okay, so let's say, for example, he picked up a kli shemalato le'iser, and it wasn't l'tzar gufo l'tzar makomo. Rashay l'talto lo yoser, he can carry it as long as he wants. Now, what's the source for this Magen Avraham? So he puts his eggs into the following basket. He says that the Ramah, based on the Mordechai, has the following, based on the Aguda, excuse me, has the following halacha. A person forgot his wallet, and he has it in his pocket, and he doesn't have to go out into the Rishus HaRabim right now, he just has to get rid of the wallet, so he's allowed to walk around from one room to the other, until finally he could loosen his money belt and let the wallet fall down. And this is the Shita de Aguda, which he bases on a sugya in Beitza on Daf Gimel. Now, he had no right to pick up this wallet. So is it Tiltal Be'isur? Nevertheless, the Ramah says he's allowed to take it back and forth until he finally is able to drop it wherever he wants to drop it. So in other words, based on this aguda, we come to the conclusion that a klisha malato le'isur, number one, if he was metaltal it l'tzach gufo l'tzach makomo, that's okay, and that's beheter, and he can put it down wherever he wants. Now the aguda adds that even if he picked it up and he had no right to do so, he could put it down wherever he wants. And even if it was mukta mamish, because the case of kis shel mos is mukta mamish, what we call mukta machmas gufo, he's allowed to put it down wherever he wants. So the two chidushim here. Number one, you're talking about a case where you're moving an object that's mukta, and you had no right to do that. And number two, in a case of klisha malakta l'isi, had no right to be metaltal. And in both these cases, the agud establishes that you're allowed to put it down wherever you want. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Gaon. Let's take a look at the language of the Mishnah Berurah. Again, please remind Don that it's on page 209, so I don't have to repeat myself over and over again. And he writes the following. Ubebir agra. Okay, he quotes the Bir Agra in Siman Reish Samach Vav, Cholek ala Magen Avraham, Usvirle, and according to the opinion of the Bir Agra, Lo itiru ela kshehischil letaltel bershus. Only if the original tiltal was permissible. So if you picked up a klisha malato le'isur and you had no right to do so, there was no tzarech makom and tzarech gufo, you got to drop it on the spot. If you picked up mukta and you had no right to do so, you got to drop it right on the spot. Can't walk around with it. That's the shita of the Gaon. And the Gaon has a proof from a Gemara that we once saw on Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis at the end of Perikira about the Chazan Beis HaKnesses who's blowing the shofar, and it's on Erev Shabbos. And the Gemara establishes that after he finishes his tkios, and now he was makabel Shabbos, at this point he has to take the shofar and just put it away. He can't take it home with him, even if there's an Eruv. It's called Makom Sanua Miniach Shofar B'Makom Sanua B'Rosh HaGag. So he was blowing the shofar on top of the roof, and he immediately drops it with Kabbalah Shabbos. Now, that's a brisa at the end of Kira, as we said before, and that brisa reflects the Shita of Nehemiah, who holds that shofar is mukta. You remember, if not from Nehemiah, we would say that a shofar is a klisha malach le'isa. Why? Because you can use it also legamea bo esatinuk. That's not true according to Rav Nechemi, because he needs tashmish hamiyuchad lo. So according to him, shofar is mukta machmas gufo. And as a result, we have to put it away immediately. Even though when he took it into his hand, it was Erev Shabbos, he had every right to do so. And the Gaon says, you see, that in the case of Mukta, even though you took it into your hand, and even though it was Beheta that you took it into your hand, you have to put it down immediately. B'makom tzanua. You can't carry it around with you. So if you take a look, and this, where did we actually get to yesterday? Did anybody make a simon? No, that's not. I can't rely on you for that. Okay. So you made a simon. Oh, that's great. So we got up to the paragraph Omnom? That's Omnom. Okay, so before we get to Omnom, just as one last piece of review, it took 15 minutes to review, but that's okay, because otherwise our brain...
Aren't you glad I came?
Yeah. I'm not only glad you came, I really owe you a gift for that. Okay. And
well, he's exonerated the rest of us.
Well, that I wouldn't say. I'm not going to go that far. You know, one hand doesn't necessarily wash the other. But he says the following. He says, and this is right before we're going to start now. He says, "El meinicho b'makom tzanua shehuchan lo barosh b'samuch barosh gago right mishum." So in my copy I underline those three words. Why did I underline that? Because this is a pellet. What do you mean hiskil be'isur? He started blowing the shofar on Erev Shabbos. You can't say that's hiskil be'isur. So if you look at parentheses, he says chashav tiltul isur shermiyad kishenichnas haShabbos also litol haShofar. In other words, when he finishes that very last tkiyah and accepts the Shabbos, he's holding the shofar. That's already be'isur. I would have said that it's already in his hand, you know, until he puts it down and picks it up again. That's not a tiltul be'isur. Okay. Fine. So what do we have now? We have a clear-cut machlokas about whether or not in the case of mukta, we apply the principle of kfar netolo biyado. According to Magen Avraham, and he bases himself on the case of the wallet, which was the aguda that the Ramah quoted la'locha, that he just moves around in his house and then he drops the money belt wherever he can, but he's got plenty of time, no pressure, he can take it wherever he wants. And as opposed to that, we have the shita of the Gra, who bases himself on a Gemara at the end of Perikira, that the Chazan Beis HaKnesses has to drop the shofar immediately. And the reason for that is because we're going according to Rav Nechemi, who holds that the shofar is Mukta Machmas Gufo, and even though he has the shofar in his hand, he can't carry it. There's no din of Kfar Netolo Biyodo. Now, in the next paragraph, he quotes the Magen Avraham, who says that he has a question on the Ramah. And he says that this Gemara of Chazan Beis HaKnesses seems to be an open contradiction to the sugya of the Ramah, of the kiss, where he allows you to put the kiss wherever you want, within the house. Why does the Chazan Beis HaKnesses in the shofar that's muktzah, according to Rav Nechemi, have to drop it immediately? Whereas if you find that unfortunately you have a kiss, you have a wallet in there, the Ramah allows you based on the aguda to carry it wherever you want. Vitirates, and the Magen Avraham offers the following reconciliation. Al kolpanim adif lo lavo lidei kach. The brisa that's quoted at the end of Perikira is not the be all and the end all. You know, if there's no possibility to hide your shofar, then we're going to certainly allow the chazan beis haknesset to take the shofar wherever he has to. But if all things are equal, if we could establish l'chatchila away a system in which he doesn't feel compelled, the chazan beis haknesset, to take this shofar and bring it back home because they designated a makom tzanua, that's the way we should go. So again, what it comes out here, according to the Magen Avraham, is that if b'di'evad you found yourself in a situation where you're holding on to mukta and you can't drop it, then you're allowed to take it wherever you want, and that was the aguda. But if, on the other hand, says the Magen Avraham, you have a possibility of putting it down immediately, that would be our first choice. So this whole heter of mukta kshekvar netola b'yado is only, you know, if there's no other possibility. It reminds me of the Mishnah Berurah about a klisha malata leheter and the sugya maklos, that, you know, if we can just put the arm on top of the shoulder, that's what we should do. Why? Because we don't want to move a kli shelo litzorech, and this is shelo litzorech. Now, if we were able to defend the Magen Avraham and the Aguda against the first attack of the Gaon from the sugya at the end of Perikira, we still have another sugya to deal with, and that's a Tosefta at the end of Masechta Sukkah. I think we touched on this yesterday, did we not? That a woman lights Shabbos candles. She immediately, with the lighting of the candles, has accepted upon herself Shabbos. But what does she have in her hand?
Match.
The match. And the Tosefta says she should throw it, just immediately chuck it. Tashlich et hapsila. Okay, it does mention a match. He mentions the wick. Okay, whatever it is. And you see clearly, says the Gaon, that since now she was Mekabela Shabbos and she's holding on to something that's mukta, we're not going to allow her to carry it around, even though it's in her hand. She's got to drop it on the spot. Fine. So now we go on to page 268. Okay then? And now we have a Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish wrote an entire treatise on the laws of Mukta. And he claims that the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Gra, is an inaccurate quotation of the Gra. The Gaon was not interested in what you maskil be'isur or what you maskil be'heter, but rather, is it a klishim latal isur or is it mukta? Okay, so let's go back for a moment and read the Mishnah Berurah. He says, "Ubibir agra cholik al magen avram usvile delo hitiru elok shehiskil l'taltel birshus." So the Chazon Ish writes, that's not true. The Gaon never said such a thing. What the Gaon said was, bless you, that in the case of mukta, real, real, bona fide mukta, we're not going to allow you to apply this principle of kfar nitolo biyada. So, for example, the shofar, according to Rabbi Nechemia, is mukta machmas gufo, and therefore he has to hide it immediately, put it down immediately. Or, for example, the case of a match after she lit candles, that's again mukta machmas gufo. And here's where the Gaon says, you got to drop it immediately. We're not going to let you run around with mukta. The only heter, based on the Rashba and all the other Rishonim, is in a case of a kli, which is not mukta. If it's a kli, then we say, well, you picked it up, you can put it down wherever you want. So the Mishnah Berurah would say that's not true. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Gaon as saying that even in the case of a kli, if you had no right to pick it up, you have to put it down immediately. And that's against the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says that in the kli shel lachol isur, even if he... Ah, wait a minute. The kli... Yeah, no, I'm sorry. The Machaber is talking about a case where... he took the kli shel lachol isur tzok gufol tzok makom. It was the Magen Avraham who went a step further, and the Magen Avraham insists that even in the case of Shachach v'notlo biyado, Rashoi litlo. So for example, Rabosai, what would the Vilna Gaon say about the case of the kiss, the case of the wallet of the Aguda? Would he accept the Aguda or would he not accept the Aguda?
Drop it.
Correct, drop it where you are. The Aguda allows you to put it wherever you want. And that's a case of Mukta Machmas Gufo. But ask a different question. The Magen Avraham allowed you, in a case of Shachach, to take this Kli that was Malato Le'isur and to put it down wherever the heck you want. What would the Gaon say about that? So here's a machlok between the Mishnah Brura and the Chazon Ish. The Mishnah Brura, I'm going to use this phrase, but don't take me literally, accuses the Gaon of saying that in such a case where you accidentally picked up a Kli Shemalato Le'isur, you have to drop it on the spot. And the Chazon Ish says that's not what the Gaon is talking about. The Gaon never addressed the case of a Kli. The Gaon was only addressing the case of Muktzeh Machmas Gufo. And here, like in the case of the shofar according to Rabbi Nechemya, or the case of the gafur in the Tosefta, here's where the Gaon says you got to drop it.
But how would the Gaon define the object? Would he define it like Nechemya defines an object and be more sort of stringent on a broader definition of muksa, or would he have a broader definition of kli shelamata leisa?
See, going according to Mishnah Brura now.
I don't know.
Like, so let's take it. In other words, in order for me to focus on your question, I have to sort of break it down. Let's take the Mishnah Brura first. So the Mishnah Brura says that according to Vilna Gaon, in a case, even in a case of klisha malachta le'isur, unless it was tiltu le'birshus, like legufo le'mekomo, but if it was a shachach situation, you'd have to drop it on the spot. So now, ready for your question, David.
So, would he consider that hammer that he picks up? Would he consider that muksa, or would he consider it a kli shelamata le'isur? Nachavi would say it's muksa.
That's where the Chazon Ish objects against the Mishnah Brura, because the Chazon Ish says the Mishnah Brura falsely accused or attributed to the Gaon the following position: right. That even in the case of a kli shelamata le'isur, you had no right to pick it up, drop it on the spot.
Right.
The Chazon Ish, on the other hand, says that's not what the Gaon was talking about. If you look at the two proofs that the Gaon deduces, they're both cases of Muktzeh Machmas Gufo. And there's where the Gaon says drop it on the spot. But if it's a Kli, even though he had no right to pick it up, once he picks it up, he's Kvar Netolo Biyado. He puts it down wherever he wants.
Unless they drop it on the spot, you've still got sort of Arba Amot to kind of...
I don't know. That's a good question. I can't answer that question. Okay? You know, that's... Yeah, I'm not trying to poo-poo your question. I'm just saying that, you know, within the framework of what we're doing, just drop it, you know, right now, drop it on the spot. I'm not even going to give you dollar amounts. Okay. Now, the Chazon Ish tries to prove his point. The Gaon made his comment in Yoredeya Hilchas Mila regarding the Ismil Shel Mila. So we're talking about a Shabbos Bris, and we're talking about the Moel holding on to a very expensive and sensitive Kli, which if not for the fact that he has a mitzvah of Mila, the Moel's knife, which is called the Ismil Shel Mila, would be a case of Muktzeh Mamish. And why is that called Muktzeh Mamish? Chisar and kiss. Yeah. You remember we discussed that chisar and kiss, because he locks it up usually, so no one to touch it, it loses its shame kli, and it becomes like Eitzim Vavonim. And even Rav Shimon, who allows Muktzeh, would prohibit the case of a kli sheyesh bo chisar and kiss. Now, what are we going to tell the Moel? He just finished the Mila. Drop the Ismail on the spot, right? Says the Gaon, Mutal l'taltel ha'izmel achar ha'mila kedei latzniel v'af agav d'ein sarach lo li'osa Shabbos. He's not on his way to a second bris mila, which by the way today is so common. And the Beis Yosef comments in the name of Rabbeinu Yerucham that others prohibit this. The Ma'aril prohibits it, etc., etc. V'chayev lizrok miyad achra milu. Now again, I don't know what that means. You know, your dalaram is, but let you know that the moel carries his ismil in a little pouch. So basically, as soon as he finishes the mila, and I don't think this is our minuk, but that's what the Maril holds, and Beis Yosef quotes it, he's got to put it into the pouch. You know what I'm saying? Now you can ask me another question, is what does he do with the pouch? I mean, if he leaves it there on the table, oy vavoy, if somebody comes along and steals his pouch. You know, the bris took place at 10 in the morning. You know, what's going to be until after Shabbos? I don't know. But that's what he says here. I want you to underline these words, because otherwise you're going to accuse me of coming up with the Chumrah of the Week Club here. But he says, Befesh v'chayev lizrok miyad achra mila. Can you underline those words? Line 4. Now, in the poskim, he says, there's a lot of discussions about this. For example, the Taz wants to say that since on Erev Shabbos he designated the Ismail for Mila, because he knew the next morning he has to do a Mila, that's not called Mukta. Mm-hmm. And then the Taz wants to say that even after he finishes the Mila, it doesn't become Mukta, because B'Bein HaShmoshos, it was Omed L'Shimosh, Omed L'Mitzvah's Mila. And therefore we're not going to say Migu Diskatsoi. And many disagreed and objected against this Taz, and they said that even if there's no Migulis Katsoi, I don't need Migulis Katsoi. Forget about Migulis Katsoi. I don't have to turn the clock back to Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos becomes irrelevant, because right now he finished the Mila, and once he finishes the Mila,
it's a Klisha Marfilis.
It's Kisar and Kiss, even more than that. You know, again, Klisha Marfilis would be a half a halbatsar, as we say, but that would only, right? But we're going even a step further. We're saying that it's Mukta Mamish. So again, I would say that there's another element here to the equation. That's called Mukta Lachatzi Shabbos. I don't know. You have to really, this is, you know, if you wanted to give a person an exam in Hilchas Mukta and see if he knows his stuff, this would be a great situation. Some say that even at the time of the Mila, he's using a Kli that's Mukta. That's not good news for a child to know that his Mila on Shabbos was done with Mukta. That's not nice. But the din is that Mila is Docha Shabbos, and it's Docha even the Mukta of Shabbos. Again, so there's a lot of perspectives on this question. Okay. So in other words, according to the Gaon, even though the Ismail is Mukta, he's allowed to continue and carry it from one place to the other. Why? Kevan Shehu Biyada. Okay, so we're midway here through the Gaon, because we can't stop at this point. If we stop at this point, we're in deep trouble, because the Gaon seems to assume that even in a case of Mukta, even in a case of Mukta Mamish, you're allowed to apply this principle of Kran Netolo Biyado, and the Gaon, if you remember, was the Mekel here. He was lenient, and he allowed him to be Matzniyah wherever he wants to do so. So we have to figure this all out. Now the Magen Avraham says that the reason why you should be allowed to continue with this Ismail and put it down wherever you feel like it is because of the Aguda. I mean, the Aguda, if you remember, came up with the theory that even in the case of a Kishel Mos, which is Mukta Machmas Gufo, you're allowed to put it down wherever you want. So let's combine the Heter, which dates back to Rabbeinu Yerucham, in the case of the Ismail Shalmila, with the Heter that dates back to the Aguda in the case where he finds a kiss. In both cases, we're talking about Mukta Machmas Gufo, and yet, once you pick it up, you're allowed to put it down. So this is the presentation of the Gaon in Yoredeya, based on Rabbeinu Yerucham, who allows you to take this Ismail Shalmila, the mold, can put it down and be matzniyat wherever he wants. Oh, so we're up to the words Ubir Hagro Begra Poligalzeh, which is line 5, and he says that the Gaon holds that after the Mila, he has to drop the Ismail. In other words, the first half that we did was the Gaon's analysis of Rabbeinu Yerucham, who was Matir, and took the lenient position on the on the Moel. But the Gaon himself argues, and he holds like the Maharil that we saw was quoted in the Beis Yosef, and the Maharil says, Chayav lizorko miyad achar mila. Why? Says the Gaon, the afal gav, the gavi klishim alato liisur, is mutal atznio. Once he picks it up, he's allowed to put it down. Hacha asur. But here it's different. Now, what does he mean here it's different? What is the Gaon implying here when he says that Ismail shel mila should not be equated with a klishim alato liisur, where once you pick it up, you can put it down wherever you like? What distinction is the Gaon implying here? Hello, this is not very good news for me. Again, the Gaon says that in Kli Shemalakta Le'isur, once it's in your hand, put it down wherever you want. But in the case of Mukta, for example, the Isma, which is Chisaron Kis, that's Mukta Mamish, the Gaon says you got to drop it, like the Maharil. What distinction is he basing himself on?
Is that the beginning of the act was
Mitzvah? No. You're getting too complicated. Again, he's talking about a very fundamental distinction. This is the Aleph base.
Muksa versus Klisha.
Excellent, Don. Thank you so much. Just, you know, today you're my man. You saved me already twice. You know, if you save me another two times, that's a grand slam.
No.
No? A grand slam?
A hat trick.
Oh, it's called a hat trick. Okay. I got the wrong sport. Okay. So Don says, very well. And Ben, you know what he's talking about. There's a fundamental distinction between Mukta and Klisha Malakta Lisa. So even though you'll find certain leniencies in Klisha Malakta Lisa, it's Hagufa, it's Hakmakoma, now we're saying, Natala Viyadu, put it down wherever you want, those leniencies never apply to the case of Mukta. So in the Gaon's analysis, he objects to the Agudu, who says that once you have the wallet, you put it down wherever you want, and he accepts the sheet of the Maharil in the case of the Ismail Shalmila, because that's also Mukta Machmas Gufo, drop it like a hot potato. Viraya, and he proves it, Mimasha Amru Besof Perik Beis the Shabbos, the Dafka Beklisha Malatol Isa She'eno Mukta. In other words, when could we be more lenient with the shofar and allow you to be metal to the shofar and take it home with you? We were addressing the Chazan HaKnesses, right? That's only if you assume, not like Rav Nechemiah, but rather shofar has many different functions to it, primarily for music, but the subcategories are for the sake of feeding a child. Therefore, it's a klisha malakta le'isur. Klisha malakta le'isur, we're going to allow you to put it back wherever you have to. It's already in your hand. When does the Gemara become so harsh and say, you know, you've got to tell the Chazan HaKnesses, Latznia Miad, you know, on the Gag Shel this? That's only because we're going according to Reb Nechemiah. And according to Reb Nechemiah, what's the status of a shofar? Mukta. That's the language of the Gaon. Says the Chazon Ish, Mevur Bagra, it's clear from the words of the Gra, Sheyesh Evdel, there's a fundamental difference between Mukta Gavur and Klisha Malakta Le'isur. And therefore the Gaon holds that the Heter of Tiltul Mukta Kishenotlo Biyado applies only to a Klisha Malakta Le'isur, but not to Mukta Mamish. And the reason for that is because Klisha Malakta Le'isur is not Mukta. Klisha Malakta Le'isur only comes under Gzeres Kalim. And at this point, the Chazon Ish goes into some of the basics. Let's go through them anyway, even though we know all this, but it's good to go over it again. Number one, the fact that Klisha Malakta Le'isur is Mutal Etatal Etzor Guful Etzor Makomo. That must be a Gzeres Kalim. That would not apply to Mukta. And furthermore, the Gzeres Kalim was all focused on Tiltul Shalol Litzar Chayom. And Klisha Malakta Le'isur, if he moves it from the sun into the shade, that's called Shalol Litzar Chayom. And that's not considered Litzarach. But rather it's Litzarach Machar, he calls it. Okay, fine. Furthermore, we said that Reb Shimon, who rejects Mukta, agrees to Klisha Malakta Le'isur. And there are many Rishonim who say that. And furthermore, in the case of a Klisha Malakta Le'heter, you're not letting him move it Shalol Litzar Klal. That's also an expression of the original Gzeira of Kalim. So we have many, many proofs that all the discussions about Kalim, Klishim Akhtal Heter, which is also Shalom Sokla, Klishim Akhtal Yisur, which is also Mikamal Etzel, all this comes under the Xer of Kalim. It is not Mukta. Kli is not Mukta, even according to Reb Shimon. Yeah, I'm sorry, even according to Reb Yehuda. Again, I know, David, I can read your mind. What about Chatzotros? And I told you that I promised you an answer to the question of Chatzotros, because Tosa seems to assume on Daf Lamed Vav that Chatzotros is Mukta, even though it's a Kli. And that's because it has no other function excluding to the exclusion of music. So I don't know. But in a classical case of a Kli Shem Lachta L'Isur, which has many different functions, the primary function of which is Isur, there we're talking about Xeras Kehle, we're not talking about Mukta. Now the last paragraph on the right, again he quotes the Gaon. The Gaon says, U'braisa disham, meaning the case of Shofar, Ukmu Kirab Nechemya, says the Gaon, this is the answer to Tosfos' kash. Okay. So let's go through the sugi here with the Tosfos' kash. So the Gemara had, if you remember, three different brises. One brise said that you're not allowed to be metaltal neither shofar nor chatzotzos. We had another brise that said that you're allowed to be metaltal not only shofar but even chatzotzos. We have a third brise that says that shofar you're allowed to be metaltal, but chatzotzos you're not allowed to be metaltal. The Gemara says, Ha Rabbi Yehuda, Ha Rabbi Shimon, Ha Rabbi Nechemya. Tosfos says, and this is the shita of many, many Rishonim, and the Gaon accepts the shita, that when it says that you're allowed to be metaltel, for example, in one brice it says you're allowed to be metaltel both a shofar and a chatzotzra, and in another brice it says you're allowed to be metaltel a shofar, it doesn't mean straight across the board, all inclusive, but it means litzarch gufo or litzarch makoma, but not mechama litzel. Why? Because we're dealing with a shofar which at the very least is a Kli Shem Lachta L'Isur according to everyone, even according to Reb Shimon. Because again, Reb Shimon accepts the Gzeira of Kli Shem Lachta L'Isur, which generates an Isur Tiltul Michama L'Tzel. And if that be the case, wherever it says in any of those brises that you're allowed to be metaltal a shofar, it means you're allowed to be metaltal L'Tzar Kufa L'Tzar Makoma. The Gemara explains that according to Reb Shimon, Travayu Metaltalin. What does that mean, Travayu Metaltalin? Because we give the shofar a status of a Kli Shem Lachta L'Isur, and you're allowed to be metaltal Litzar Gufo Litzar Makoma. For that matter, even in the case of Chatzotzros becomes a Kli Shem Lachta L'Isur, which is Mutal Litaltal Litzar Makoma Litzar Gufo, which is again a weak link here. Why that's so? What are the secondary functions of Chatzotzros? And we spoke about using it for hearing purposes. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Chatzotzros, Tosfos claims, is already mukta. That's not like shofar. So that brisa which says you're allowed to be metaltel a shofar, which means l'tzar guf l'tzar makomo, but you're not allowed to be metaltel Chatzotzros, that means even l'tzarech... Just excuse me. That means that... Just 1 second... That even with Tzar Kufa Makoma, you're not allowed to be metaltal Chatzotzros. And the reason for that, as I said before, is because Tosfos maintains that Chatzotzro, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is Muktzah Mamish, because it really has virtually no other respectable use. I shouldn't say respectable, but no other, probable use. And that's the difference between shofar, which is used to the Gameas Hatino, makes it into a Kli Shem Lachta L'Isur, which is Mutal Taltal Tzor Kufa Tzor Makoma, as opposed to Chatzotzro, which is not Omeid L'Gameas Hatino, doesn't have that round part to it, and therefore becomes Mukta according to Rabbi Yehuda, which means it's also even L'Tzor Kufa L'Tzor Makoma. Then we get to the Brisa that says even shofar you can't move L'Tzor Kufa L'Tzor Makoma, which makes it into Mukta Machmas Kufa. That's from Nechem. Because Rabbi Nechemya holds you're not allowed to use a shofar l'gabeyamo as a tinok, because that's not a tashmish ha-miyuchad, and therefore becomes mukt. So now Tosfos has a kash. And we're on the left column, the second paragraph. The hikshat Tosfos, what's the Gemara asking a question? And is a stira, ha-mash is shofar metaltil, that's only the tzor kufu tzor makoma. And the Gemara posits that as a stira to the case of the Chazan Beis HaKnesses. And Tosus says the Chazan Beis HaKnesses Mamshich L'Taltos HaShofar V'Osekein Kedesh Lo Yiganev V'Avi K'Mincham L'Tzeach. The reason why we have to be very strict about the shofar in the case of the Chazan is because this is a case of Klish of Alat Elisul Mincham L'Tzeach. Because why is he moving it in order to find a place to hide it? That's because he's worried about Mincham L'Tzeach. And in the case of Klishim Lachal Isur, there's no heter of Micham Alitzel. Tosfos answers this kasha in the next paragraph. And he says that the Lashon HaBraisa that says by Chazan HaKnesses Lefisha Ein Metaltel in Los HaShofar Velos Es HaKatzotzos, that's why the Gemara got upset here. Because it sounds like there's no heter tiltel in the case of a shofar at all. Even if it was Litzor Kufu Litzor Makom, meaning this Braisa swallows together and equates shofar and chatzotzos, which is not true according to Rabbi Yehuda, and that's what forces the Gemara here to introduce Rabbi Nechemiah. So the Gaon says that this is a very difficult answer, and therefore the Gaon wants to suggest another answer, and that's in the paragraph that starts Ubir Hagra, and he says the following: that the mukta that was in the hands of the Chazan HaKnesses, If the shofar is only a klisha malatol isur, then he should be allowed to continue carrying it, and we don't have to set aside a designated place up on the roof for him to place it. And the Braisa says shema shetzarch l'takilo makom mishum shu mukta machmas gufa, and therefore the Braisa says lefisha ein metaltel, which means ein metaltelin even Litzar Gufa Litzar Makomo, and that is because it's Mukta Machmas Gufa. So the Gemara had a problem over here. Why should this shofar be considered Mukta Machmas Gufa? In other words, the Gemara is asking, why are you forcing the Chazan HaKnesses to drop the shofar? Well, that's near the Makoma Miuchada, right? It must be that you define the shofar as Mukta. Why shofar Mukta? After all, you can use the Legabeh Asatinok. So our answer is Rav Nechemya. The Rav Nechemya would not allow you the Legabeh Asatinok, which means it gets elevated to the status, according to Rav Nechemya, of Mukta Mamish, and not the Gzeir of Kalim. So Gemara Nahavamina, before introducing Rav Nechemya, understood that the status of a shofar is equal to that of a Klisha Malat Elisa. And why is that? Because it has another function, Legabeh Asatinok. And the Gemara therefore asks, why do you have to set up a place for the shofar? Why not allow the Chazan HaKnesses to put the shofar wherever he feels he wants to put it? Let him take it home for up, or let him take it to Des Moines, Iowa, I don't care. And the reason for that is because a klisha malat l'isa, once you take it into your hand, you can put it wherever you like. And this is the Gaon who's talking. The Gemara answers, no. The problem with shofar is that this price reflects the shita of Nechemya, which means that shofar is what? Mukta Machmas Gufo, and therefore you have to drop it on the spot. This was the basis of the Gaon for his fundamental distinction in terms of this discussion that we're having about klisha kvar notla biyado between mukta and klisha malakta l'isur. And therefore the Gaon, the Chazon Ish says that from the Gaon in Hilchas Mila, we see very clearly that the reason why the Gaon accepted the Maril and rejected the Aguda in the case of Kishalmos is because Kishalmos is Mukta, it's not Kalim. And in the case of Mukta, the Gaon says there was never a heter of Kevin Shinot Loviado. Had nothing to do with the fact that he had no right to take the wallet and put it into his pocket. No, that wasn't the Vilna Gaon's problem. His objection was that the Kishalmos has the status of Mukta Machmas Gufo, and there's no heter of Kevin Shinatola Biyodo in Mukta Machmas Gufo. The Mishnah Brura, on the other hand, went too far. Because again, let's go back to the Mishnah Brura, and he writes, Vibir Agra, Cholek Al Mogen Avram, Usvirale, Deloi Tiru, Elche, Hischil, Letaltil, Birshus. The Mogen Avram said that if you pick up a Klisha Malakal Yisr inadvertently, you know, without thinking about it, and you had no right to do it, put it down wherever you like. It's already in your hands. Comes along the Mishnah Brewer and says, no, the Gaon would object. Why? Because he had no right to pick it up. Where do you see such a thing in the Gaon, says the Chazon Ish? The Chazon Ish consistently makes it dependent upon Mukta Machmas Gufo. The breakthrough here, the Magen Avraham, which the Gaon would accept as well, is in the case of Klisha Malakal Isar. Then lo me boy, if you picked it up, Litzar Gufo, Litzar Makomo, but even if you picked it up illegally, you're allowed to put it down wherever you want. And the God never rejected that. The God's problem was with Ismael Shalmila, and therefore he fought against the Aguda, and the Kishal Mos. In those two cases, you're talking about Muktzamach Masgufa. And there, you're not allowed to pick it up and keep it going, you know, put it down wherever you like. And a third case, the shofar, according to whom? According to Rabbi Nechemya. The shofar, according to Rabbi Nechemya, becomes Muktzamach Masgufa, and the Chazan HaKnesses has to immediately hide it in this pouch, wherever it is. So Rabbi Moshe, if you're keeping a scorecard here, let's write the following. Shitas Hagon, Hagra. Underneath it, I want to give Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. Aleph is going to be the case of Kis Shalmos. Beis is going to be the case of Ismael Shalmila. And Gimel is going to be the case of Shofar Aliba Rav Nechemya. If you have Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, in all these three cases, the Gaon says, drop it like a hot potato. Why? What's common denominator to all these three cases? Muktzamach Mas Gufo. But where do you see, says the Chazon Ish to the Mishnah Berurah, that the Gaon objected to the Magen Avraham's extension of this principle of Kevin Shinatol Biyado to the case of Klisha Malach Talisa or Shachach? In Klisha Malach Talisa or Shachach, you talk about Xeris Kalim, that's a whole different ball game. And even if it's not a grand slam, but it's a first base hit. And here in the case of Klisha Malach Talisa, we're going to be Mekil, and the Gaon would accept that. The Gaon is not uncomfortable with that.
And it doesn't seem to matter for him whether you picked it up with a heter or not. Like with the
correct. The wallet. Therefore, that's not why the Gaon stood up and objected to the and he threw a wallet at the Magen Avraham. And the reason why he was objecting to the Magen Avraham is because Kishal Mos is Mukta. Had it been a Klisha Malach Talisur, even though you picked it up at Beisur, the Gaon would be okay with that. Just like the Magen Avraham said before the Gaon. Magen Avraham was 200 years before the Gaon, 150 years before the Gaon. But what are we doing with the Mishnah Berurah here? You know, a lot of us went to that class. So we got, you know, it's a very heavy accusation. So this article that I'm showing you was authored by, well, it's one of his Talmidim, but Rav Ozer, who's Rosh Yeshiva here up the block. And he wants to claim that the Chazon Ish ignores another statement of the Gaon. Now, just historically, you should know, it's very hard for us to figure out the Shitas HaGaon. Because the Gaon writes in different places, a lot of it is based on letters and manuscripts. It's a big balagan, as we would say. So it's very shy up to look in some of the writings of the Gaon and come to a certain conclusion because you're unaware of a different writing of the Gaon. And the point is like this. What the Chazon Ish had in front of him was the Gaon in Hilchas Mila. And the Gaon in Hilchas Mila clearly is discussing the case of Muktzamash. And that's where he disagrees with the Aguda vis-a-vis the Kis Shel Mos. And that's called the Bir Agra. However, there's another Gra. And this Gra is not the Gra in Hilchus Mila, which is Yoredeya, but rather a Gaon in Arachai. So that's the paragraph that starts with Ach. You see that? It's the next last paragraph on page 268. Ach lechora, he says, it would seem to me, ein hatluna la Mishnah Berurah. The Chazon Ish has no right to get all upset with the Mishnah Berurah. Sharia Mishnah Berurah tzitet, he quoted Divrei Agra. But he doesn't tell you exactly where the Gra is. Oh yeah, he does. I'm sorry, I take that back. He tells you the Gra is here in Arachayim. That's not the Gra that the Chazon Ish had in front of him. He had the Gra in Yoredeya. But if we look at the Gra in Arachayim, the Gra says, Yesh lechalek bein hischil be'i. This we should underline. Yesh lechalek bein hischil be'isur lehischil beheter. And he quotes the Gaon verbatim, word for word, velo nira. Disham haskolas hatiltel hu beheter, the case of the Rashba that we spoke about, who allows you to cover this beitzah, which is nolad, with a kara, And then the Magen Avraham extended it to even a case of a kli shemlach leiser. That's because he moved the kli litzarach gufo litzarach makomo, which is a tiltel shel heter. If the tiltel is shel heter, that's one story. But b'shachach, if he was unaware and he forgot or he didn't know, whatever the case may be, and he moved a kli shemlach leiser, that's not a tiltel the heter, and therefore drop it as soon as you can. So in other words, the Gaon in Aruch Chaim adds a whole nother variable, a whole nother dimension into the equation. According to the Gaon in Aruch Chaim, this whole heter of netolo biyado, put it down wherever you want, is because, you know what, you started something, the heter, I'm not going to force you, as soon as you finished your job of Litzok Makomo, you took it off the table, drop it on the spot, your first possible. You started Beheter, put it down wherever you like. But if you started Beisur, then your moving with it is a continuation of that original tiltel. And that original tiltel was Beisur. So if you start with a tiltel shall head there, continue with it. And the original, the headpiece, you know, will continue to influence the body. Wherever you put it down, it's all because of the headpiece. You know, that was the start, that was Beheter. So the whole Gantz of Ice is Beheter. But if you started Beisur, then you're running around with a tiltel of Be'isur, that the Gaon says is in Talmud. And that's going to be a double machlokas between the Magen Avraham and the Gaon. First of all, the Magen Avraham says that even in the case of Muktzah, you're allowed to put it down once it's in your hand. That was the kiss, Shalmos, of the Aguda. And secondly, in the case of Klishim Lach Talisa B'Shachach, where you had no right to pick it up, the Magen Avraham says, it's in your hand, put it down wherever you... Comes along the Gaon, he disagrees with both. In Hilchas Mila, the Gaon disagrees with the case of Muktzah. And there he says, drop it on the spot. And that applies, by the way, even if you picked it up ahead there, I would say. You know, the Chazon Shel Beis HaKnesses had every right to pick up the shofar, and the Moel on Shabbos had every right to pick up his Izmal. But once you finish your job, and now it's no longer Omed Litashmish, because you're not going to use it for a second Mila if you don't have another job today. And how much more so in the case of the Chazon, because there's no Tekiah Shofar on Shabbos, drop it on the spot. Why? Because that's Mukt. So that's the Gaon where? In Hilchus Mil. Now we fast forward to the Gaon in Aruch Chaim. Here the Gaon is Aruch Chaim saying a different word. He's saying even if you were the Chazan Beis HaKnesset and you picked it up ahead there, and even if you were the Moel and you picked it up ahead there, that's not going to be Matir Mukt. But not only that, that's going to be the precondition for allowing you to continue carrying it if it's a Kli Shemalat Elisa. In other words, even in the case of a kli, where we're not talking about muktzah, says the Gaon, this whole ganzen business, this whole package deal that you picked it up, continue with it, that's only because you started with a tiltel shel heter. Please.
Yeah, so I'm walking...
So he succeeded in defending the Mishavura.
I think so, although it's a little bit of a strange phrase that he uses. He says, lichora. I don't know why he added the word lichora. You know, he quotes the Gaon verbatim that you need a scholar betiltel. Yeah.
So I'm walking to shul and I discover that I have money in my pocket. The Magen Avraham would allow me to continue my journey to shul with that money and maybe even let me come home with it. But the Gaon would make me find a spot right there to put it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know where you're going to find such a spot. That's
I've done it before. I stuck it in the wall.
Oh, okay.
Stone wall.
Oh, that's where I found the money.
No, that's what I got. So it wasn't mine.
Yeah, just 1 second. I'm thinking about David's question. Just give me a minute. Okay. There's a. You know, the Misnagdim, the Litvakas, they make fun of the Chassidim. You know what I'm saying? Today already it's a little different, but I'm saying back in the day, like when I was a youth. So they look for... So the Chassidim say that the Chassidish Rebbe can do all sorts of miracles. So they tell the story that the Chassidish Rebbe was on his way to shul and he saw money on the floor. So he said... He moved his hand this way and that way. He says, it's not Shabbos, pick up the money. That was the miracle. Anyway, guys,
is there a reason to think that the Mishnah Berurah
knew the opinion of the governor better than maybe like some people now? Like,
well, wait a second. The Vilna Gaon lived in about 1750, let's say.
Right. It's a while back.
The Mishnah Berurah lived in 1850 and probably died in 1930, I think. You know, so he was born. But he's certainly older than the Chazon Ish. You know, but not by that much. You know, the thing is that the Mishnah Berurah was a very old man when he died. I think he was 95.
Oh wow.
There was some discussion about an ongoing Easter, like, and I think that very serious in Shabbos. Like, if I'm doing Easter and then I forgot that I was doing it, and I continue with Bishlos, I'm chayev twice. Like, I'm just wondering, like, are you chayev just once? Because I picked up the tiltor. It seems to be in the discussion. It's an ongoing Easter. Every second, it's another Easter, another Easter.
Like, yeah, I wasn't thinking in those terms, Ben. I was thinking similar to what you were saying. I remember that yesterday I touched on the following issue. What's the Easter in Tiltal? Is it taking it into your hands or having it in your hands? Right. You know, that's what I was thinking. Okay. So let's see the last paragraph now on the page. He says, Ach nire, sheyesh kan gam stira v'chesh ben poshet b'gemara. The Gemara has in two places, which the Gaon quoted, this principle that you have to drop it immediately. For example, the Gemara at the end of Kira, as far as Shofar is concerned. And he says, that's a little bit confusing to me. I'm not sure why it's considered Hiskel be'isur, but let's leave that for the time being. Ubi ardea hochiach mise shemuktzemach masgufo osur lahamshich. Okay, so we have the case of the shofar. It's got to put it down immediately because Rav Nechemia it's muktzemach masgufo. Umino she'ein hochach l'shum tzad zil hocha komatchile zil hocha komatchile. Ah, it's just want to see what he's saying. Yeah, this is very cryptic, and here's where I got stuck. See, sometimes when you're learning Bitsibur, you know, you get the flash of light. I couldn't figure this out. Do me a favor, if somebody could open up to Siman Reish Samach Vav. Reish Samach Vav Seif Yudbez, and just while I'm trying to see if I can decipher this, so you can tell me what the case there is. Because I have a hunch here that maybe I know what's going on over here.
Yes, Shomrim, the Dafka Bechavila, Hitiru, Masokin, Avalovi, Kiso.
Ah, so to my kids, a while, correct?
Yud is Chashal over there.
You look at Sif Yud Beis?
No, that was Yud Beis.
Is there a Yud Beis? Maybe there's no Yud Beis.
Yud Aleph. Hayta chavilato munachet al ketefo. So Yud Beis. Yesh omrim dafka bechavila hitiru lasot ken.
But not the kids.
We mentioned this. So I don't know if we explained it.
But is there a Mognav? Is there a Ramah there? That's the Aguda.
There's still Shulchan Aruch and Reish Magi Beperik Yigim Beshem Ramban Hagod Beperik Beshem Samach.
What page do you want?
Umish Shachach Kiso. I have different pages.
Yeah. All right.
Shachach Kiso Alav Beshabad Ramah. Imu Bebeito Yechol Alech.
Oh, so that's the Aguda.
Mo Lecheder Lehatir Chaguro Velipol Shem Latzliyo Imu Bashuk. Asur lahaviyo leveto, rak matir chaguro bashuk munofel, v'aomer leino yudi l'shamro, v'im mevi'o en lachush.
Right.
He got the hint. Ah, Aguda, Masechet Beitza.
Right, so that's the Ramon, the name of that Aguda, but the first day says that no, that if he finds this kiss, he's got to drop it right away, correct? Before the Aguda, before the Ramon quotes the Aguda, the first opinion was that he would have to drop the kiss, correct? What?
Yeah.
Don, you don't have the page open, do you, by any chance? No.
You want to look at it?
He beat me to it.
I think it's more of a shot to the chak. This is what's happening there.
Okay.
What is that? Resh Nun Gimel.
Resh Samach Vav. Yesh Omer the Dafka B'Chalil is Avolo B'Kiso. Alright. So let me just see.
Surprisingly great Mekul Rabba.
Yes, yes. The big cool of the Rabba. So let me just think out loud with you.
I found a page if you want to.
Yeah. Okay, if I need it, I'll come back to you. Just keep it open. I think what he's saying here in this paragraph, it's a little bit obscure. As I told you, this is not written by the Rashid himself. It's Talmid and full of mistakes. And lack of clarities. I think what he's saying is the following. That we have the case of shofar. And then we have the case of the kiss. And in both cases, again, leaving out the Ramah in the name of the Aguda, the Gaon would say you have to drop it like a hot potato. Correct? So therefore, the shofar, according to Nechem, you have to drop. And the kiss, according to those who did not accept the Aguda, you have to drop. So I think what he's saying here is that when you look at those two sugyas, you really can come to two different conclusions. One conclusion, which is based on the Gemara of Shofar at the end of Kira, is that if it's mukta, you got to drop. The other conclusion, based on the case of the kiss, would be that since you had no right to pick up the kiss, and it was never a heter betiltel to begin with, therefore you have to drop it. So I never know, based on these two sugyas, wherein lies the objection here. The blockage that says, no, you cannot use the principle of Kevan Shentolo B'Yod. Why? Is it because, like the Gemara says by Shofar, it was Mukta Mamish, according to Reb Nechemya? Or is it because, like the case of the kiss, that he had no right to pick it up? I don't know which way to go. And therefore he says that at the end of the day, Ein hochacha, this is the next to last line on your page, l'shum tzad. Dizil hocha komatchile, vizil hocha komatchile. As if you're going to tell me, well, it's a case of natlo be'isur, and I'm going to say, no, it's a case of mukta. And if it's a case, you're going to tell me it's mukta, I'm going to tell you, no, it's because he started be'isur. So we really know, there's no way to pin down exactly why the halacha gets very strict over here. In any event, on the top of the next page, he says that the Mishnah Brura quotes the Rabbah in the name of the Aguda in the case of the Arniki, in the case of the kiss, and you can put it down wherever you want. And then the Mishnah Brura quotes the Gaon, and he says that the reason why the Gaon is going to say drop the Arniki against the position of the Aguda is because Hiskil is because the Arniki is Mukta, or alternatively because it was Hiskel be'Isur. So Nafkemina be'Hiskel be'Heter. If he started be'Heter. Now, at this point, he picks up the Sharat Sim. The Sharat Sion, you know, was written by the same author, the Mishnah Brura himself. And I'm pretty sure he's focusing on number Yud Gimel in the Sharat Sion. And in the Sharat Sion, he quotes two of the Achronim, the Poskim, the Evan HaOzer, who's very early, and the Derech Chaim, who's relatively late. That's the Nesivos. And the Mishnah Brura quotes both of them to the effect that they disagree with the Ramah, and they say that in the case of Mukta Mamish, there's no heter of Kevet Shinitola B'Yoda. But he points out that if you look carefully, even though the Mishnah Brura sort of, you know, swallowed them up together, there's a fundamental difference between the two. The Nesiva says that the difference is that Mukta Machmas Gufo is Asur, whereas Klisha Malachta L'Isur is Mut. And the Nesivus goes as far as to say that in Kli Shemlach Tal Yisur it's mutter even if it was Hischil B'Yisur. The Eben Ozer, on the other hand, he says no. We're only going to apply this principle, this kula of Kfar Netola. The other, if you have two conditions that can be met. Number one, it's a Kli Shemlach Tal Yisur. Number two, he started Behet. Now, what's the logic of the Eben Ozer to require both conditions? He says, we've already explained that according to Rav Nechemiah, even a Kli Shemalach Tal Heter, you're only allowed to move it L'tzor Tashmisho HaMiyuchad Lo. And Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Shimon, who asks, what's the Heter going to Rabbi Nechemiah for L'tzorach Makomo? And the answer is that once they were Matir Shimush with the Kli, they had to be Matir taking it off the table. That's the Gemara HaShimush. Oh. He says if you go in that direction, then you need Tarti Latibus. You need two pluses in order to be Matir. Why? Hare B'muktza Klalo Itiru L'talta L'tzorch Makomo. Muktza doesn't have the Heter Makomo. And even in the case of Kli Shemlach Tal Yisur, Inetolo B'Yisur, Ein Zeh Chelek Mitiltal Savir L'tzorch Makomo. You hear what he's saying? In other words, the whole argument of the Rashba to generate this heter that once you pick it up you can put it down is because Litzarch Makoma, what happens to Litzarch Makoma? You have to drop it, you know, on the spot? You took off the dirty dishes and what? You're going to let it fall? No, that, we never heard such a thing. Oh. But he says that doesn't apply according to Rav Nechemiah. Why? Because according to Rav Nechemiah, there never was a heter litzarch makoma. Correct? According to Rav Nechemiah, all the Rishonim say, what was the heter litzarch makoma? It was only included in the heter litzarch gufo. So there never was a real heter of litzarch makoma, according to Rav Nechemiah. Masha Enkin, in the case of Kli Shemlach Tal Yisur. Ah, wait, cross that out. I mean, what I said told you is right, but that's not relevant. What's really relevant is that, oh, here's the way it goes. Then when is there a heter of Litzarch Makomo in the case of Kli Shemlach Tal Yisur? That's because you were allowed to put down the Kli for the sake of Gufo to eat your meal. We're going to allow you now to pick it up after you finish your meal. But here we're talking about a case where he had no right to pick it up. He was Metal Tal Yisur. We're not going to allow him to move it. So again, Mimarashah. If it's a case of Muktzah Mamish, like Shofar according to Rav Nechemiah, we don't have a head there to put it down wherever you want. Because it's Muktzah. And if you're going to tell me, what about a Kli Shemlach Tal Yisur? So I'm going to ask you, did you pick it up a head there? Because if you picked it up a head there, then we have this extension to Litzarach Makomo. Yes, we allowed you Litzarach Gufo, now we're going to allow you Litzarach Makomo to take it off the table after you finish your meal. But if you picked it up for Isur, there's no justification to allow you Litzarach Makomo. So again, going back to the Rashba, if this entire structure, this entire heter of Tiltul L'chol Makom Shub Kemenche Yigil Yado is based on Litzarach Makomo, because the Gemara never objected that in Litzarach Makomo you got to take it off the table and drop it on the spot. Then Litzarach Makomo is a meaningful heter in the case where he was allowed to pick up the Kli Shemlach Tal Yisur. You were allowed to pick up the Kli Shemlach Tal Yisur, so I'm going to say, okay, Litzarach Gufo, then put it down Litzarach Makomo, etc., etc. But if you picked it up the Yisur, Shachach, he had no right to pick it up, then what are you going to tell me? It's included in the heter Litzarach Gufo? That doesn't make any sense. He's not even using it Litzarach Gufo. He has no need for the Kli Litzarach Gufo. So he picks up a carpenter's hammer and he has no intention to crack his walnuts. So now you're going to tell me, oh, he picked it up, carry it around wherever you want. Carrying it around wherever you want is rooted in the heter of Litzarach Makomo. But Litzarach Makomo means that you use the Litzarach Gufo, now we're going to allow you to use the Litzarach Makomo. See, I don't know, David, if this touches on our discussion the other day of Erev Shabbos. You know, you know what I'm talking about? You know, what happens if going into Shabbos, he had no need for this, he left it on the table, so right. This carpet.
And he doesn't need the table. like if you said a desk.
Ah.
He doesn't need the desk.
No, I meant something else. Even if he needs the table, but he never needed the hammer.
Right.
Litzar Gufo. So I was wondering if Litzar Mekomo is an extension of the head to Litzar Gufo, then he never needed it, Litzar Gufo. Is there a blanket head to Litzar Mekomo? Here what we're saying is that there's no head to Litzar Mekomo because there was no head to Tiltil to begin with, and this is the sheet of the Evan Ozer. Uben Esivas, he allows he allows you to move a klishim lachtali so that you picked it up the isur, like the Magen Avraham. Ina tola fil bisa yamshach letaltalo v'chazan ish bira tam mishum da'av shalokav bisa mekomo kom hashta sorech es mekomo. Whoa, are you ready for this? This will be our punchline for today. The Chazon Ish says that when you picked up the kli shemalachto leisur, then you're right, the shogeg, let's say, you're allowed to put it down wherever you want because that's called litzarch mekomo. I'm holding on to the hammer. What's litzarch mekomo? Sharei tofei sloa kli asayat. Because the kli is taking up his hand.
That's very abstract.
The chashiv kol shal litzarch mekomo. As long as the kli is in his hand, he always has this need to free up his hand. Right. That's called litzarch mekomo. The heres namaisa. When I read this, I didn't know. I thought maybe it was motzei purim and they are extending purim. I didn't know what was going on here. So he says the following: Shei tofes haklias yado v'chashiv kol shak yitzarch mekomo. That's the nesivus, and therefore the nesivus says that this is not called some sort of new tiltal. This all fits into the tiltal, which is butal yitzarch mekomo, and let him put it down wherever he wants. So Rav Osai, if you could make a note here, and you know Don is one person, but I'd love if everybody would do it. Now, right here, we're up to Acha Aguda, and that's where we'll stop. And I just realized that today's Friday, which means Thursday, I mean to say, and therefore I have to part with you for Shabbos. So I want to wish everyone a great Vayakel, a great Pekudei, a great Parshas Parah,
a great marathon. You running?
A great Shabbos Mevarchim Kodesh Nisan, am I right? Wow. If I'm not mistaken, check me out on this. I mean, it's like all in one package.
Wow. That makes sense.
It's sort of Gufo, it's sort of Makovo, everything tzazam. Okay then, Shabbat Shalom to everyone, and thanks for a great week.